Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, November 17th, 2014. Here are our top stories.
Tonight, a state of emergency has been declared in Missouri as the grand jury in Ferguson is set to release their decision surrounding the death of Michael Brown. The National Guard has been deployed, and once again, InfoWars has boots on the ground. Then, a school in Connecticut is now teaching children that the government gives us rights. And Microsoft hires RoboCops to guard their Silicon Valley headquarters. All that plus much more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, the AP News has an interesting observation about the results of the election about 2 weeks ago. Although the GOP may not be holding Obama's feet to the fire on his movement for executive amnesty for illegal aliens, it looks like those in his party may be ready to do that based on what happened in Oregon. The report that Oregon immigration vote is a warning for Obama. They say even as Oregon voters were legalizing things like recreational marijuana, expanding Democrat majorities in state government, they decided by a margin of 66 to 34 to cancel a new state law that would have provided driver's licenses to people who are in the U.S. illegally. And one of the persons who supported that measure say the political cost may be significant even in the blue states. They say opponents barely gathered enough signatures to put the repeal question on the ballot. Immigrant rights groups outspent their opponents 10 to 1. And still lost. Now, they go on to say in the article that polls often show that the support for amnesty is broad-based in the public, but in many cases, they believe this is because of the tricks inherent in the polling industry in terms of complex questions, that sort of thing. They say when it's put up to a straight up-and-down vote, it's very clear. This person said it really highlights how this issue is not a Republican-liberal issue, like, say, for example, taxes and abortion, but it's an up-down issue of the elites versus the public. That's right. And those elites are not just Obama, but it's also the GOP and their allies in big business and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce who want to see low-wage jobs come into the United States, essentially putting them against blue-collar workers. And Obama is very aware of this as well. The Daily Caller went back and looked at the book that he did in 2006, The Audacity of Hope, and had him reading excerpts from it, of course, in his audio book, talking about the impact that was going to be on blue-collar workers and on blacks and on Americans in general. Here's what he had to say back in 2006. He said, there's no denying that blacks share the same anxieties as whites about the wave of illegal immigration. Of course, he's not talking about undocumented immigration. He's talking about illegal immigration when he ran in 2006. He said, it's flooding our southern border, a sense that what's happening now is fundamentally different than what has gone on before. Exactly. Including all the previous amnesties that they're now trying to draw parallels to during the time of Reagan. Yes, Reagan did participate in an amnesty. Look at the results. We were promised that there was going to then be control of the border if they just allowed the people that were already here to become citizens. That didn't happen. We've been fooled before by that. And since when do the Democrats go to Ronald Reagan for authority for anything that they do? And of course, Ronald Reagan many times did things that I don't believe were legitimate or constitutional. Look at what he did to the deficit. Look at the gun control initiatives that he put in, the war on drugs, mandatory minimums, on and on and on, the Iran-Contra affair, crack cocaine, you name it. But Obama goes back on and says that illegal immigration threatens to depress further the wages of blue-collar Americans and put strains on an already overburdened safety net. Yes, in other words, imploding the welfare state, Cloward and Piven. In the passage, he also reveals that he personally feels patriotic resentment when he sees Mexican flags at immigration rallies. And he says, native-born Americans suspect that it is they and not the immigrants who are being forced to adapt. Exactly. Obama has said he wants to fundamentally transform this country. And just like the villain played by Robert Redford in the newest Captain America movie, he wants to fundamentally destroy this country before he rebuilds something that is fundamentally different. Now, the Republicans, of course, are not doing anything to stop him. And they claim that they can't do anything because it's not going to get any farther than an impeachment in the House. It's not going to go to the Senate, and they won't be able to do anything about it. But look at what they're doing on something that is interesting to them, something that they do have an interest in, and that's the Keystone Pipeline. Though the first week that they came back, the very first thing they did was to bring the Keystone Pipeline up again for the 9th time that they have passed it. 9 times it makes. Now, the person who brought this up, a person who's running in a runoff for senator in Louisiana, is the one who introduced it. He said, here we are on our 9th attempt. It has been 539 days, about a year and a half since the House first sent a Keystone approval bill to the Senate and the Congress. We're going to make it as easy as possible for the Senate to finally get a bill to the president's desks. So if it has to do with something that their corporate masters, the Koch brothers, other industry interests have, they will do it for them. But they won't do what is in the interest of the American people, and that is stand up to the illegal actions of Obama. There's been more than 9 occasions that he should have been impeached for various actions that he's done. Yet they stand by and say, there's no use doing it because we can't get it through the Senate and do anything farther than that. Yet they can't get the Keystone Pipeline any farther through the Senate. They still have done it 9 times. And they point out in the New American that the economics of the Keystone Pipeline are even questionable benefit for those who support it. They already have 3 legs of a pipeline that are bringing crude oil from North Dakota to refineries on the Gulf Coast. Now, those are bringing in about 9 million barrels per day, 9 billion barrels per day from those 3 legs, on an average 3 million barrels per day. This 4th leg that they're fighting so hard to get in would only add 0.8 billion barrels a day. It would cost $10 billion. It would take 3 years to build. And as they point out, it's not necessarily an economic alternative to things like railroad shipping in terms of being able to take it to different destinations at different times rather than always having it pumped to one location. Yet, 9 times it will come up because that's what their corporate masters want. They don't care what's in your interest. They don't care what the people want. Again, it is the interests of the elite versus the interests of the public, just exactly as we see on the immigration issue. Now, also in another area, of course, in the war on coal, the White House sent a message today saying they don't think that the GOP can stop them or will be able to stop them as they continue to shut down power plants in the United States. The White House on Monday essentially dared Republicans to try and stop Obama's climate change agenda, with officials bragging that even after the GOP takes control of the Senate in January, there's nothing that they can do to stop a host of controversial new actions. John Podesta, the White House counselor, said, I believe the president will complete actions. It is a top priority of his, and I don't believe they can stop us. And then, of course, they go on to say that last week, Obama reached an agreement with the Chinese, a new climate deal. Well, here's the climate deal. China gets the new jobs. China gets the new power facilities. We get our jobs exported. We get high cost of living because they are taking down our economical power plants. And of course, we get the global pollution and the global warming because it's a global situation. If we're worried about global warming and global pollution, then why is it okay for China to build power plants, but we have to shut them down in America? And look at the extent of the dichotomy between us and China. By 2025, just 11 years, we are going to have to reduce our energy use by 26%. China, on the other hand, will be allowed to grow as rapidly and as extensively and without any kind of controls or caps on their carbon generation for 16 years to 2030 before they are not reduced, but then they are leveled at whatever they're producing in 2030. That's the New Deal. That's the New Deal that Obama offers us. And you have to ask yourself, is he working in America's interest or is he working in China's interest? Well, of course, he's working in China's interest because that is what the global elite, the corporations that are running this government, want. They want to transfer jobs, export them to cheaper countries where they don't have any pollution control. And the remaining jobs that are being done in this country, they want being done by people at much, much lower wage levels. Now, the New American asks, looking again at the election last 2 weeks ago, they ask, why have people not noticed one of the most important ballot issues that passed? And that, of course, is a victory about states' rights, states' nullification. This was pointed out by a writer at Ron Paul's Voices of Liberty. He said, most have heard the continued success of states legalizing marijuana, with Oregon and Alaska following the lead of Colorado and Washington. But an even bigger event took place in Arizona, with Proposition 122, called the Arizona Rejection of Unconstitutional Federal Actions Amendment. It passed, and it codified in the state constitution the legal doctrine called anti-commandeering. In other words, the right of a state not to be forced by the feds to fund programs that are foisted upon it. They say the program, Proposition 122, permits the state to exercise its sovereign authority by restricting state and local personnel and financial resources to the purposes that are consistent with the Constitution of the United States. That's a very important thing. Look at the approach that the 10th Amendment Center and others have taken to try to shut down the unconstitutional actions of the NSA by essentially saying, we are not going to fund the subsidies for your data collection center out here in Utah, the water, the power that you are commandeering here. We're not going to allow you to do that. We're also not going to allow your officers to use state and local officers to accomplish unconstitutional actions. It is part of the division of power that was very, very important. The founders understood that we did not want to have all power concentrated into one area, which is what we have now. The way we break the control, the black hole of power and money in Washington, is to reconstruct the Constitution, reenact the Constitution, make it effective by distributing the power away from the center and having people with the guts to stand up at the state and local level against these unconstitutional actions. Now, Scalia had an interesting comment in one of his Supreme Court cases that they point out here. And this bears on our next story here. He says, when the federal government assumes powers not explicitly granted to it in the Constitution, it puts the states on a road towards obliteration, and it puts citizens on the road to enslavement. That's right. If you don't understand that the states have power against the central government and that citizens have power and rights against both the state and the federal government, you are on the road to slavery. But that's exactly not what is being taught in the government schools. Look at this article from InfoWars today. School teaches kids that the government gives us rights. Paul Joseph Watson writes, a handout given to second grade children at a school in Fairfield, Connecticut states that, quote, the government gives us rights. He says it's a disturbing example of how kids are being miseducated about their constitutional freedoms in America. But this sentence here says it all, I think. In the handout that says, rights are special privileges the government gives you. In other words, putting this meme out that the government is giving us rights and that they are somehow privileges. They're conflating and confusing in the minds of children the differences between rights and privileges. Rights are things that we hold inherently as human beings. That was the foundation of our country, the foundation of our government, and the Declaration of Independence, that we have inalienable rights that are God-given, that we create government in order to protect those rights. A privilege is just something that you don't have that somebody gives you. It's not something that you inherently have. They have turned everything into a privilege. They're denying all of our rights, and now they're teaching the second graders that the only thing that they have is a privilege, that rights are privileges that are granted by the government. Now let's take a look at an individual who likes to criticize the government, and he uses hip-hop to do it. Rob Dew has that report.
Thanks, David. Last week we published an article called Music Video Keep the Club Swingin' Featuring Obama, and it went to a YouTube remix that a director in Southern California produced. His name's Deron Lyons. And basically he took a Dr. Dre song and then ad-libbed a bunch of Obama rapping, and it's really an amazing piece if you haven't seen it. We're going to go to a clip here in a second. But it really does speak to the message of, here we have a president who's supposed to be in tune with what's going on in America, and he's out playing golf. We saw the same thing with George Bush. In fact, there's a quote of George Bush where he goes, talking about a building exploding, he goes, now watch me hit this drive, and just knocks one out like that after talking about killing people. Really amazing what goes on here in our country, how we're using this high-tech police state warfare industrial complex system to kill people from afar while our presidents and world leaders can just sit back and play golf. So we're going to go to that clip right now, and then we're going to have the director, Deron Lyons, on to talk about it.
Let me hear you shout and get your drivers out. It's the Bolt DZ, the Golf Master. Drop a dirty birdie and laugh at your disaster. As I drain another putt on the green, I leave a blood-stained Middle East terrain. Just chill. Listen to the Muslims squeal, keeping it real. As another fundraising meal, fill. Terrorists try to kill the whale, but get crushed.
Pure and simple. Do you hear me?
I see it.
I'll wipe you off the face of the earth because I'm a bad. I bomb caves like clockwork.
We are joined now by the director, Duron Lyons. Duron, how long did it take you to put this video together?
I approximate about 500 hours and used about 285 clips for the Obama lyrics section and about 400 clips overall. So it was very tedious, but enjoyable.
So you spent a lot of time researching on YouTube, trying to find different pieces and phrases to put this piece together. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's right. A lot of YouTube, a lot of C-SPAN, and a lot of reading through transcripts.
And why did you decide to make it? What was the impetus behind this?
I did a project that was similar to this entitled 99 Problems, whereby I made Obama rap Jay-Z's classic hip-hop track. And so I was talking with some close associates that I really enjoyed discussing remix with, Vruden Jakov and Stephen Mears, and they both said, well, why don't we revisit the idea of critiquing Obama and our foreign policy through hip hop? So that really was the main impetus behind making this type of a project. I think anybody can really speak to maybe a webcam and critique our policies, but there needs to be a form that is more interesting to folks. And so using kind of the hip hop form, I think, is really it's a way to engage people. Maybe in a funny way, but also in a way that tries to get them to think more deeply about what's going on around the world.
Yeah, I totally agree. What you've taken is, in this case, a Dr. Dre tune and put some remix stuff on it and really go to the heart of what Obama is doing. He's playing golf while he's killing people with drones. And of course, others in the mainstream media celebrate this, especially when he's killing people with drones, because American troops are not getting their hands dirty in this type of work that they do. But, you know, we've heard reports from drone pilots and stuff coming down with PTSD after the fact, after they realize they're killing kids, they're killing families, wedding parties. It really is a shame that this is the way that we're now, you know, using our troops is to kill people from afar. But pretty soon we're going to be replacing those people with killer robots that are autonomous.
Right. I mean, is that the legacy that we want to leave behind? You know, I just was really disturbed by the fact that after Foley was beheaded, Obama made a statement. It was very brief. And then he goes out and plays golf. And so I was talking with Mears and I said, we really need to go after this, that as the, you know, the war on terror continues to ramp up, our president is out there just relaxing and yakking it up with friends and playing 18 holes. I just think that's inappropriate. I remember when Bush was playing a lot of golf, you know, the optics for that weren't good either, right? So he quit playing golf, and Obama's just continued to do this. So we really wanted to, you know, to borrow from George Carlin, we wanted to bash this. You know, Carlin said, I don't play with these people anymore. I just make fun of them. And that's a good way to drive discourse, I think.
I totally agree. And since I remember you sent me the email with your link, I saw it. It had about maybe 1,500 views on it at the time. We stuck it up on InfoWars, and it really created a firestorm here. Even with all the other news going on, I felt it was a little bit overshadowed, which is why I wanted to have you back on to kind of plug it again, see if we could get this thing up to 50 or 100,000 views and get this out there in the public discourse. Maybe somebody like Jay-Z or Dr. Dre will see it and go, wow, you guys did a good job. This is what I was thinking now, and you guys really took it and really took the ball and rolled with it. So, I mean, what do you have to say to people out there that are thinking about doing stuff like this? I mean, you know, obviously it takes a lot of work, takes a lot of commitment, but you can find people out there to collaborate with, and there's a lot of people doing the research on the internet that you could just, you know, find. So what are your tips to give people out there to get started on something like this?
Well, first and foremost, like you just said, collaboration is really good. I have some trusted friends that I really like talking about politics with, and we really go rigorously into the issues. What piece of popular culture can we take and try to insert a new message into it? So, but also I want to emphasize that when you start making this type of work, you're really going to have a lot of fun. I mean, I'll be directly honest. When I was working with Megyn Kelly's footage towards the end there, when she goes into this long vibrato, it's really R&B, and she's, her mouth is quivering around. And I was laughing so hard as I made that a tear dropped out of my eye. It was so fun. So I want to emphasize to people that political remix video can be a very enjoyable, yet challenging, of course, but enjoyable process whereby you get to talk back to the people in powerful positions.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so what's your next project? What are you going to work on after this?
Well, I don't like to leak that kind of stuff out too much, but I can guarantee you that I'm going to stay on people in positions of power and leadership. Might start to look at some new people that are voicing that they're going to have a candidacy in 2016. And then, again, probably stay with the hip-hop genre. I think there's lots of different ways to make remix. So I would encourage people that like to work with or that enjoy film to make narratives, too. They're very effective.
Yeah, I remember when the Obama Phone Lady video came out, people were making remixes of that and putting them up. We made our own remix here, and then we ended up having her here, and that was it was a very interesting time. I want to end on this one last article that just came out today. School teaches kids the government gives us rights, and it's by Paul Joseph Watson. And let me tell you, Duran, if you followed this little playbook here that they give you on being a good citizen, you wouldn't have come out with this. You wouldn't have critiqued the government in such a way. So do you want to apologize right now for not being a good citizen?
I'm very sorry for thinking for myself and having an opinion and for trying to put out a pro-peace message. I apologize.
Yeah, there you go. Because if you're not lockstep with what the government does, then you're not being a good citizen, as they say. Duran, where can people find your work? And, you know, I guess tell us where – hey, just plug your stuff. Where can we find all your work at?
Well, sure. Thank you. You can find my work at Duran Lyons on YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter at Lyonspotter. Lyonspotter. And that's generally where I work now. I pretty much produce political remix videos. I used to make a lot of fine artworks, but I've migrated into just doing the remix.
Well, I tell you, you do have a talent for this. I can't wait to see the next one. And be sure you send it to us when it comes out, and we'll be sure to put it out there for the people to see. And you really did hit the zeitgeist. We just had Freeway Rick Ross here, and he talked about how we need in hip-hop to come together and start doing these political things and really educating the kids on the drugs, on the drug war. And then you came out with this just a few weeks earlier, and it really hit the zeitgeist, though, of what we were talking about at the time. So I was really, really honored that we could put it out for you and hopefully make a big impact.
Yes, thank you so much. And, yeah, I agree. It was very serendipitous and things coalescing together and just a great way to get, you know, an alternative message out.
All right, Duran, well, you keep the club swinging, and we'll keep it here over at InfoWars Nightly News. And right now we go back to the studio with David Knight.
Thanks, Rob. Now stay with us. Right after the break, we're going to talk about some health issues. Does Obama think it's not possible for Ebola to come back? It looks like he's expecting it to. Stay with us. A new executive order is going to shed some light on what he thinks.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
Now, we've heard a lot about Obama's executive orders. Of course, he's going to open the border by executive order. He's going to close power stations by executive order. And now he's granted immunity from Ebola by executive order. But of course, it's not really giving people immunity physically. It's giving his corporations who are going to help him immunity from being sued if they bring Ebola back to the United States and give it to us. That's the executive order he signed last Thursday. Obama indemnifies government contractors from damages arising from importing Ebola into the United States. It indemnifies them from lawsuits that could be brought up if they import Ebola into the United States. This is, of course, a story from CNS News. They say this authority, and this is quoting from the executive order, may be exercised solely for the purpose of holding harmless and indemnifying contractors with respect to claims, losses, or damage arising out of or resulting from exposure in the course of performance or the contracts to Ebola. Now, they explain this by saying if Company A employee contracts Ebola while working in West Africa, brings the disease back to the United States, is not quarantined, and ends up infecting members of the general public, that company is protected from any damages arising from lawsuits by the victims. There you go. So it's the corporations that we have to be concerned about. It's the corporations that we need to open the borders for. And of course, we needed to take protective clothing from medical workers and hospitals, doctors and nurses here in the United States, because we didn't want to create a general panic about a possible Ebola outbreak so that people would take precautions, have quarantines. No, we wanted to, that would impact business. We don't want to see that happening. Now, of course, if Obama's pronouncements would work, that would have worked back in September when he said there was no chance it was going to get out in the wild, just a few days before we discovered that we had a patient in Texas. But at the same time that happened, of course, they were quietly purchasing about 1,600 hazmat suits. And we see over the weekend, a doctor brought in on Saturday who is in the last stages of Ebola, brought into the special facility in Nebraska. Yet, nevertheless, he died. He also, and this is interesting because he got both a blood plasma transfusion as well as ZMAP. None of that helped him. In the final stages, there is nothing really that's going to help you. It's your immune system in the beginning that is really the determining factor, as well as keeping people hydrated with fluids. And this just underscores the importance of keeping this out of the country. But of course, that's what they are not going to do. They're not going to help you with any immunity. It's only your immune system, because they're going to open the borders and even bring people in the last stages of the disease. But of course, it's even worse. Once they have a pandemic get started, we will probably become the test subjects for these corporate pharmaceuticals. They're talking now about how health officials in the U.S. are calling for testing that will require some patients to just get a placebo instead of even the experimental treatment. And of course, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases says, many of these drugs, I assure you of this, several will turn out to be toxic and not effective. And of course, none of this would be a part of the globalist agenda for population control, would it? Sterilizing people, culling the population. Recent events in India last week shed a lot of light on this, and it continues today. After the deaths of 13 women last week who underwent sterilization operations, we now learn that the drug, the antibiotic that they were giving them post-operation, had rat poisoning in it. It turns out that this doctor who was doing these abortions did abortions in just a few hours on 83 women. And he said he was being made a scapegoat for a controversial family planning scheme. You notice that he says it's a controversial family planning scheme. As they point out, forced sterilization operations is what passes for family planning in India. Irrevocable sterilization. They say it's one of the most popular methods of family planning in India. Many state governments organize these massive camps where mainly poor rural women can undergo the usually straightforward procedure. Usually straightforward. He did 83 of these in just a few hours. Human Rights Watch has said that health workers in India are coercing women into getting sterilized because they are under pressure to meet informal targets. Informal targets. Listen, the only thing that's informal about that, they know that they have targets that they need to reach. That's agreed upon. The reason they call it informal is because they're not going to put it in writing. And understand that it's the same attitude that our government has as our corporations, because it's the same corporations that are trying to exploit people in both the United States as well as in India that are behind this globalist population reduction scheme that involves mass culling of the people who are alive and massive sterilization and abortions. That's what's behind all of this. Well, stay with us right after the break. We're going to talk about You Lie 5 years later. Remember when that happened in the Congress? He's been vindicated in spades. Stay with us. We're going to be right back, and we're going to have a special report from Ferguson. Stay with us.
another major health threat. This one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
Hi, I'm Dr. Edward Grew. Today I'd like to talk about the war on women. You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Super Male Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Each of these ingredients works synergistically with the female body in order to maximize overall vitality. You've heard the reviews and the feedback on how the original Super Male Vitality has revitalized relationships. Now, both the man and the woman can have the revitalization in their own bodies with Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back. Now, remember this from 5 years ago?
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal. It's not true.
But he was actually telling the truth, and we've seen it now on multiple occasions. 2 years later, in 2011, he pointed this out. He said that they were awarding, as part of Obamacare, $28.8 million to 67 community health care centers at that time, 2011. Around the country that would inevitably end up benefiting illegal immigrants, contrary to Obama's pledge. He said of that $28.8 million, $8.5 million is earmarked to target migrant and seasonal farm workers, and they won't even ask for immigration status. They want to avoid any questions about immigration status. The fix was in from the very beginning. That's why the Republican leadership, as well as the Democratic leadership, leaned on him so heavily, because he hit on two things that the elites in both parties want, and that is government control of health care and open borders. Now, in 2014, we see it extended even farther, even more of an vindication for the you lie. The National Review points out that his you lie wasn't wrong, it was prescient. Now, Wilson pointed out that in 2011, 2 years after he called Obama a liar, saying that he wasn't going to extend benefits to immigrants, illegal immigrants, he pointed out that a $28.8 million program, of that program, $8.5 million was earmarked to target migrant and seasonal farm workers. And he said the key is that they're not going to ask for their immigrant status. They're going to avoid their immigration status. So, in other words, they were going to quietly and covertly extend this to illegal immigrants by targeting a migrant workers program and not looking at citizenship status. But now it's gotten a lot more explicit. Now we fast forward to today, and as National Review points out, Joe Wilson's you lie wasn't wrong, but prescient. They say fast forward to 2014, and lo and behold, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Sylvia Burwell, called for extending Obamacare benefits to dreamers, in other words, illegal immigrants. Now, of course, the reason he was called out, the reason he had to apologize, was because both the Democrat and the Republican leadership wanted both Obamacare, in other words, a takeover of the health industry by corporations, a massive transfer of wealth to the corporations, and control by government, and they both wanted open borders and illegal immigration. We can see that in another piece of news that was unearthed by Got News, a 2006 speech by Romney as they ended Romney Care, and he's handing out the congratulations to the people that helped to get this through. Guess who he singled out? The guy that we have seen bragging about deceiving the public for Obamacare, Jonathan Gruber. Here's what Romney had to say in 2006 about Jonathan Gruber getting Romney Care passed.
Let me mention as well the legislators and staff who worked with the president and the speaker. There were contributors from outside government, as you know. Jonathan Gruber at MIT devoted hours and hours to an essential econometric model. Jonathan Gruber at MIT.
Another example of what many people were saying, what we were saying at the time, Obamacare is exactly the same as Romney Care. Of course, you had to vote for Romney because you didn't want Obama to get in, right? Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Obama, of course, said that it was going to be the most transparent administration in U.S. history. Yes, they are the most transparent liars in history. And, of course, Jonathan Gruber has become the poster child for how they deceived the American public, bragging about it over and over again. Jonathan Gruber, the consultant to the liars, and now the liars are trying to deny that he was their consultant. John Bowne has this report.
Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Jonathan Gruber is one of the most respected economists in the world. Said in today's Washington Post, here's a quote, "Here's a bill that reduces the deficit, covers 30 million people, 30 million more people, and has a promise of lowering premiums." Pretty good statement.
We're not finished getting all of our reports back from CBO, but we'll have a side-by-side to compare. But our bill brings down rates. I don't know if you have seen Jonathan Gruber of MIT's analysis of the what the comparison is to the status quo versus what will happen in our bill.
I don't know who he is. He didn't help write our bill.
I don't know if you have seen Jonathan Gruber of MIT's analysis.
I don't know who he is. He didn't help write our bill. And so, with all due respect to your question, you have a person who wasn't writing our bill commenting on what was going on when we were writing the bill.
Did you mislead Americans about the taxes, about keeping your plan, in order to get the bill passed?
No, I did not. I just heard about this. I get well briefed before I come out here. The fact that some advisor who never worked on our staff.
A lot in that room was thinking about, how could we make this work? And Obama's like, well, you know, I mean, he's really a realistic guy. He's like, look, I can't just do this. He said, it's just not.
Some advisor who never worked on our staff expressed an opinion that I completely disagree with.
Next time I see him is summer 2009. The big issue there is that he really wants to make sure we're moving forward on cost control.
I think it's fair to say that there was not a provision in the healthcare law that was not extensively debated and was fully transparent.
Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass.
And to me, the most important piece, and in some sense, the piece I guess I'm most disappointed that Doug and I disagree on is the Cadillac tax. Okay, economists have called for 40 years to get rid of the regressive, inefficient, and expensive tax subsidy to employer-provided health insurance. No economist, and I'm sure Doug agrees with this, no economist would ever set up a health system with a tax subsidy employer-provided health insurance. It's a terrible policy. Turns out politically, it's really hard to get rid of. And the only way we could take it on was first by mislabeling it, calling it a tax on insurance plans rather than a tax on people, and we all know it's really a tax on people who hold those insurance plans. And the second way was to start it late, started in 2018.
This is one guy. I don't know who this guy was. All I know is that it's important for people to have health insurance, and if you guys are saying people shouldn't have health insurance, I don't know where you're coming from. Are you that cruel? That is
no,
what you're saying.
No, Mike, the fact is I think it's actually Republicans who haven't been particularly transparent or even honest about the true impact of those. Well, it is Republicans who have been less than forthright and transparent.
It's not true. And one more misunderstanding I want to clear up. Under our plan, no federal dollars will be used to fund abortions, and federal conscience laws will remain in place. Now,
use it, right?
Are you kidding me? Look at all this crap. Like a million wires in here. I'm like a three-wire guy.
MacGruber.
Remember in that video that Romney praised Jonathan Gruber for, as he put, devoted hours and hours to an essential econometric model. And of course, that econometric model has now failed. The costs are exploding on RomneyCare. That's how the experts lie. It's with models, whether it's tortured econometric models or whether it's climate change models where they hide the decline. Now, the other thing that never seems to change, of course, is the police brutality and corruption, especially in Ferguson. We see today in an article from InfoWars, Kit Daniels, Ferguson cop is accused of raping a woman in jail. This is a lawsuit that was just filed. A pregnant woman says she was raped in jail by a Ferguson police officer last year, according to a federal lawsuit that was filed on Friday. The woman was stopped by the accused officer because her license plates were expired and said that he arrested her because she gave him a false name, subsequently intimidated her into being raped in order to get her freedom. So that lawsuit was just filed on Friday. Today, the governor has declared martial law, Governor Nixon. And we have reporters on the scene. Jakari Jackson and Joe Biggs filed this report.
This is Jakari Jackson reporting for InfoWars.com. We just got news of a state of emergency. This is Executive Order 1414 signed by Governor Nixon. And it says, Governor Nixon of the state of Missouri, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution. And it says, I hereby declare a state of emergency exist in the state of Missouri. And also, he's going to have the Missouri State Highway Patrol together with the St. Louis County Police Department and the St. Louis Metropolitan Police to operate as a unified command to protect civil rights. And it also says that the St. Louis County Police shall have command and operational control over the things going on in the city of Ferguson, Missouri. Now, of course, we've seen St. Louis County Police. They were out there, rubber bullets, tear gas, aiming guns at people in the crowd. I had a chance to speak to the police chief the last time I was here. And he said, yeah, we made some mistakes. We'll do some adjustments. It looks like they're back up to bat. So we'll see what happens, if those changes are going to be made, if they're going to make any difference. Of course, you know, we're waiting to hear what's going to happen with Officer Darren Wilson. Is he going to be indicted? We were at the courthouse earlier today. There was a protest. I guess about 50 people or so were out there. And, you know, they just want to find out what happened to Mike. You know, of course, we hear a lot about the violent protesters, the rioters, the looters, the people threatening to come in and burn down the city to loot and pillage and all that stuff. But you can't forget that you also have peaceful protesters, peaceful demonstrators, and they're being very much overshadowed by all this threat of violence. So we hear about these guys. Also, DHS has trucks in the vicinity. We've been told by a military source who lost his job because of releasing that information. So stay tuned to InfoWars.com. We're here. We're ready. We're going to be out in the streets as soon as the verdict happens, and we'll give you more reports. Stay tuned. InfoWars.com.
This is Jakari Jackson for InfoWars.com. We're in Clayton, Missouri, where we're expecting to hear the verdict on whether Officer Darren Wilson will be indicted for the situation with Mike Brown. If you walk with me for a moment. This area is pretty dead right now, except for a few media trucks you can see over here on the sides. We see CBS, we see Frontlines out here, multiple other organizations as well. But something that caught my attention when I walked up to the building, there's a sign on here besides the leave your guns outside sign. This one says cancel. They're canceling classes here in this building. Now, I would suspect it has something to do directly with the violence that they expect to happen should Officer Darren Wilson get off. Now, we've already been talking about there's a lot of people on social media saying they're going to riot regardless. You know, just like, you know, during after a football game or a hockey championship, people go out and they flip over cars, they tear down the street signs and all that wild stuff. Hopefully none of that stuff will happen, but there's been a lot of talk about it. The business owners are taking this seriously. We see in Ferguson, Missouri, they're boarding up the windows, taking all the necessary precautions. We see that DHS is in town. The police officers are ready to go should something happen. So stay tuned to InfoWars.com as we bring you the most up-to-date information.
Well, that's it for tonight's news. Now, if you're watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're not a Prison Planet TV subscriber, please support our operation by becoming one. Now, of course, Alex today extended the number of people who could watch live each night the broadcast to 20 people can watch off of one subscription the news as it's happening. And, of course, that's going to be happening again tomorrow night at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Join us then.
celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp-looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield, Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.